Welcome to Faith Break, finding God moments in your everyday. Each week on Faith Break, hosts Karen Luke and Ann Gallagher bring spiritual refreshment to your daily life. It's June 1st, Baccalaureate weekend, and in honor of our graduating seniors, Karen and Ann reflect on God's call for all of us to share our gifts with the world. Our youth ministry intern, Sarah, joins us today as she prepares for her calling by God.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 27 of Faith Break. I'm Karen Luke.
And I'm Ann Gallagher.
And we have a very special guest appearance again.
Yes.
With our senior intern, Sarah.
Yes. Yes. You want to say hi? Graduating any minute now.
Yeah, I got like a month left. I'm so excited.
And where are you going? Share your sweatshirt.
I'm going to the University of Vermont for nursing.
Yay!
I'm excited. Yay!
Sarah. Yay. So we thought this would be a nice time to have you come on, especially because our parishes are celebrating the baccalaureate masses this weekend. Yes. And we are celebrating all of our graduating high school seniors to have you on and just share a little bit about how God's calling you, how God has called all of us in our lives. And yeah, just kind of put a bow on this year you've had with us. As
I think
intern.
I'm shedding a tear already.
I know.
Please don't cry yet. I can't do it.
Yeah. So our topic for the day is call stories. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite biblical call stories about how each of us has experienced God's call. And I think for Catholics, we don't like think too much about having like just one moment of a call, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes other kinds of Christians will be like, well, are you saved or whatever? And I think for us, it's more like we have a lifelong journey of God always deepening our call, right?
Culmination of moments.
Yeah. So it begins at baptism and the Eucharist sustains us through all of our calls. And then we believe at confirmation, you get sealed with the Holy Spirit and, you know, your call gets deepened even more. So, yeah. So all of life is a journey of call. But today we're going to talk more about our own stories.
Yep. But first, God moments.
God moments.
God moments.
Okay. Do you have a God moment this week,
Sarah? Sure, I can go first.
Okay.
So I actually spent this weekend, it was Mother's Day weekend and I felt so bad, but I spent it home alone because my family went to the lake and I had to babysit. So I actually was so lonely. I like did not realize how lonely it was. And I've like stayed home alone before, but when they came home, I was like so happy to see them. And we went on a walk after Mother's Day dinner. And I thought I'd heard all about my childhood, but apparently I hadn't. So we were talking all about like what my nursery looked like and stuff that I didn't know because we moved houses when I was 3 years old before my sister was born. So it was like really nice to get to talk to them about my childhood and things, especially because I've been like working in childcare now. And I'm like, I must have been a really boring baby. Like I was like, there's no way like when I was at daycare, you didn't get called and told I was awful. And they were like, no, like you were amazing. And I'm like, I don't believe this. I think they were lying to me, but it was just really nice to get to talk to them about that.
That's so cute. As a mom, I'm sure your parents loved reminiscing.
Oh, they did.
I love doing that with my kiddos too. I was going to say with my little kids, but they're not little anymore.
My kids on Mother's Day, they were asking me all these questions about when they were babies. But they were, I have no idea. Like they were asking like, when did I walk? And when did I first talk? And what was my first word? And I'm like, I remembered some of the stuff, but most of the stuff, I was like, dude, guys, I didn't sleep for 3 years. I don't know. I don't remember all this, but you know, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
For us.
I keep telling Jeremy, I wish that we had started like a journal or actually like physically wrote things down. Mm-hmm. And I know they had the baby books, but I never did the baby books. Mm-hmm. It was just too much. But like just the things that they used to say.
Yeah.
You know, just like the little silly things. And Connor and Emma do the same thing. They're always asking who did what first and things like that. But
yeah, my sister and I have never done that, but it was just fun to get to sit down and talk. My parents remembered a lot, and I don't know if it's because they were doctors and trying to figure out like if I was right as a kid or like what it was, but they remembered a lot about me, not a lot about my sister, which was surprising.
You're the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Makes
yeah. Second child syndrome, totally. Yes. Anne, do you want to share your God moment?
I do. Mine is actually also about Mother's Day. And we were... My sister came to town, so we had a lot of family time. We were doing a bunch of stuff for my mom. So it was a really busy weekend. And we were going to go out to brunch on Sunday morning. And I realized I didn't have a card from my mom yet. And she really loves cards. Like, she wants the sappiest card ever. She wants to put it up in, like, on her, you know, sideboard in her dining room and keep it up for a month. And, like, the card's really a big deal for her. And I just hadn't had time to do it, or, you know, and I say to Brian, we got to stop at Wegmans on the way to brunch so I can get my mom a card. And he's like, wait a minute. And he pulls out a card that he bought for me to give my mom.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like the perfect
sappiest
card. Sappiest card. It was just awesome. And I was like, dude, you just won Mother's Day. That is the best thing. You're a keeper. I mean, like,
let's hope.
That was just, I just can't believe you thought to do that. It was like the most considerate thing.
Right.
Because it was a load off of, you know, the things I had to worry about. So that was fantastic. So that was my God moment, Brian.
Right. Well, I feel like I should be talking about Mother's Day, but mine is totally unrelated to Mother's Day.
Okay.
So being very busy, I have, actually it goes to baccalaureate kind of, because my two best friends from childhood, actually elementary school, we still get together for a weekend in the summer and go camping. And we bring our kids and all that. And so I would like to share the God moment that we actually picked a date and booked our campsites. And everyone has already taken off from work.
Wow,
so
nice.
It is like it's so hard coordinating three different family schedules.
Yeah.
And now even more so because we have two that are in high school, two that are in middle school, and then two that are young elementary. But it's still crazy. But we're all coming. So that's my God moment.
Awesome.
That we were actually
looking forward to summer. I got to start planning all of our family summer things too. That's next on the to-do list. But anyway, don't have to worry about that now. All right, let's talk about call stories. So, Sarah, let's talk to you first.
Okay, I'm ready.
Because you've been working with us now all year in the parishes.
Yes.
Because you felt a call to be, you know, sharing your gifts in our parish more officially. Do you want to share anything about what it's been like for you to be spending all this time with the kids and the teens at church and just kind of seeing how things run and do you have highs and lows?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So I was actually thinking back to, it was like a Sunday night. We were at middle school youth group, and I was like, we were sitting down and I was like, wait, Anne and Karen, I want to do an internship. I want to do what you do. And you guys were like ready. You guys were like, yes, yes. You were like, let's do this. And so then we got into it, and then we actually got into the nitty gritty. And I was actually so surprised to see it actually happen. I was like expecting you guys to be like, yeah, let's do it. And then be like, actually, never mind, because it's a lot of work. But I was so happy that it actually happened. And I originally did it because I was really struggling to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. Like, I just had no clue because I thought I wanted to be a doctor. And then I was like, I cannot go to school for that long. I need to be done sooner rather than later. But ultimately, I chose not to go into youth ministry, and it has nothing to do with this at all.
No.
Ultimately, it was just I'm interested in medicine, and youth ministry, I realized, can always be a part of my life. And I'm so happy I did this because I realized how many different facets of youth ministry you can go into. Just because, like, you can do Sunday school teacher, you can do high school, you can do middle school, you can do VBS, you can help plan things. Like, there's just so many things you can do. So I'm excited to see where I go with that, I guess. I have no clue right now. But we'll go somewhere. And I just realized I need ministry to be a part of my life, because before my internship, I was always doing things that I was doing now. We just added on a few more things. So I'm happy that we got there. Some of my highs were First Communion. I'm so happy I went.
Right.
Okay. Can
so
I jump
cute.
In really
yeah,
fast?
You can go, you can
okay.
Go.
So Sarah, I just want to say, watching you at First Communion, and if you haven't or don't know what we do for our celebrations, is we invite our young kids up around the altar during the consecration. And we prepare them. We're like, don't be wiggly. Don't touch the altar. Don't smile. Like, just don't. Just yeah. stand there like statues. But Sarah, I just want to say it was such a blessing to have you up on the altar with me and looking across the altar table and seeing you smile and looking at the kids. And it was just... It was a God moment for me.
Oh,
it really
you.
Was. I was like, oh, what am I going to do next year?
I know. Stop. We're going to miss you so much.
No, it'll be okay. You can do it.
But I'm glad it was a high for you because it definitely was.
No, it was so awesome. I consistently, like when I'm talking to teens that have already had their first communion, I'm always trying to bring back Eucharistic revival. And I always try to tell them, like, see the excitement in the kids when they first receive first communion. Like, you used to feel like that. And, like, you should always feel like that. And I guess getting to see it again this weekend, I was like, I'm not just talking about things I don't know about. Like, I actually, I'm speaking on real things. So it was so cool. And then another thing I really loved was search, so much so that we're going to do it again.
I know. We added a whole second youth retreat to the end of the school calendar here.
Yes. I'm so excited. It was just so awesome to see, like, my vision and all my planning come to life. Like, it was so cool. Even though I was, like, deathly
so
ill the whole time. I don't know what I had. It was so bad. But I was so happy to see it, like, actually come to life, see the planning. Like, I planned so well that Anne could follow like, craziness. So it ended up working. And I feel like the only lows of this was just, like, really struggling to figure out how to plan things. Like, there's just so many places to go. And, like, when Anne was like, plan a high school youth group, I was like, I don't know where to start. I was, like, just so scared about it. But I'm happy it figured it out. And then I figured it out. But I think the other thing was just, like, I was showing up to, like, with my preschoolers especially, I got to run a little preschool thing. I felt like I wasn't making an impact for, like, the longest time. I was, like, just showing up and I was, like, trying to, like, teach them things. And, like, my, like, one goal of teaching preschool is that they learn the sign of the cross. And I don't think you guys understand how hard this is. Because, like, you see them every 2 weeks and they just don't remember it. Mm-hmm. But, so I was, like, really struggling with seeing an impact in that ministry. But towards the end, I finally saw it, like, blossom and the kids start to, like, really want to be involved with the church, which was fun.
Aw.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have to start recruiting another intern for next year.
Pretty soon. Someone at high school.
Now we're so used to having you around helping us with everything.
Someone at high school youth group said that our next search retreat should be having a conclave to find the next youth ministry intern. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever.
That is amazing.
Because last week, Sarah led a youth group all about popes because we were dealing with the conclave and all that. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I thought that was the funniest thing.
You know, and I'm going to jump ahead, but like, it's awesome to see that you had the call of something tugging at you early on, because I didn't.
You went to, like, youth ministry stuff when you were in high school.
Yeah, like, I went to youth ministry stuff, but when I was in college studying religious studies, everyone's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm not working for the Catholic Church. That's for sure.
Well.
And hello.
I guess what?
22 years.
God had other plans.
Definitely. But it's just great to see, because Anne and I were always talking about not seeing the seeds.
Yeah, planting seeds that we don't always get to see the fruit of. But then we get someone like you. And it's just been so awesome to see you blossom and flourish in ministry this year.
Thank
and,
you.
We just want to say thank you for all the hours you gave to and your presence.
And my nice newsletters that didn't have emojis in
no
it.
No emojis. Someone's going to hold you accountable next year. I'm going to be really sad if I see emojis on there.
The one time Sarah... didn't have a chance to do it because of school. We sent out a weekly email. Yeah. And the one weekend that she didn't have a chance to do it, I was like, that's okay. I got it. And the next weekend she comes in and she's like, did you really put emojis in the newsletter? You ruined my template. And I was like, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
So I was not allowed to touch my own newsletter for the rest of the year.
We'll have to keep you on the mailing list so you receive the letters every week, even though you're going to be in college, just to keep an eye on them for
her. I thought it was cute, but oh well.
Okay, so why don't we transition and talk more a little bit about just God's call. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about, like, what it was like for you when you first felt like God was calling you to, well, for us, I guess it could be, like, to ministry or to marriage or motherhood or all those things, and for you just at the beginning of your life, figuring out of your adulthood, figuring out where, you know, I know where to go to college has been a big thing this spring.
We figured it out.
But yeah, how did you, Karen, how did you first experience God's call?
Like I said, there was always like a tug there. But I realized that like my dream definitely was not God's dream for me. And I feel like I really figured that out my first year of ministry when I was able to hang out with the kids and teach them in a way that made their them getting excited about their faith. A 180 from how I learned about my faith, because I didn't want it to be like lecture teaching. Like when we had it, it was CCD. So we all sat in desks. And
it was like school.
It was like school. And I remember my first reconciliation was such a horrible experience that my second reconciliation wasn't until I was a senior in high school.
I don't think I've ever heard that story.
Yeah. So
My
best friend and I, we memorized the act of contrition. And of course, I couldn't remember it. And we didn't have cheat sheet cards like I give the kids. And the priest made me stay in the reconciliation room until I remembered it. So I was in there what felt like 8 hours, but it was probably like 20 minutes. But when I came out, and it was like the red light, green light on the in the rooms. And when I came out, all of my friends were in the front row waiting because we only had one priest and we just went in. And they're like, oh my gosh, what did you do that you were in there for so long? And I'm like, I'm going to remember the act of contrition. Like, it was horrible. So my first year teaching reconciliation, I'm like, I am not going to let that experience happen to those kids. And then that's when it just was like, it didn't feel like a job. It was fun. It was ministry. And I was like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Nice.
Yeah. And 20 some odd years later.
Yeah.
Still in it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I think, I knew I was really drawn to the church a lot in high school because I was, I had this like amazing experience of being called into like leadership at that. We used to have a diocesan youth committee. Do you remember from when we were in high school? And they recruited teens from all over the diocese. Yeah. And it was actually my church secretary. Her name is Miss Titucci. She's friend of my mom's, and she was the one who saw this letter come through from the diocese asking for the nomination of a teen, and she's like, well, we should nominate Anne. So she was really the one who was just my church secretary. And but being the experience of being part of that group was life-changing for me, because it was you know, we didn't just like lead the programs that adults had planned. Like, we were involved in like every aspect of the planning and every aspect of running it. And it was really, I felt very entrusted by my church. And I felt very valued by my church in a way. And so I had such a great experience in high school that I wanted to kind of pay that forward. So it was like the highs of that experience of being in youth ministry when I was a teen. But also, we had a lot of, I had a lot of like trauma and hard times in high school too, when my parents divorced and we had to move, and it was the people who were youth ministers who were there for me and helped me through it and supported me. And so, you know, and I went on to do like campus ministry and stuff, but I didn't know in college what I really wanted to do. And I was considering going to grad school for something else entirely. And, when I was home on break, I had lunch with Michael, who's one of my mentors, and he's like, well, these are the jobs that are open in parishes, and you should apply for these. And so it was like a personal invitation, too, was a big part of it. And that was just...
And here we are.
How I got here.
She's still a published author, though. I just found this out the other day.
Yes!
And hands me this thing and goes, hey, you should do this for youth group. It's from my book. And I went...
I wrote a third of a youth ministry manual.
She's a published author.
I am a published author.
I could say,
yeah,
I'm besties.
I was like, this is actually, I know, I was like, so there's a lesson in here, because you were going to, you know, you're leading it.
Yeah.
By the way, do you need any, that's tomorrow night, isn't it? Do you need any help with that?
Nope, it'll figure itself
Fantastic.
Out.
Fantastic. All right. But I was like, yeah, here's an outline you might want to use. And, oh, by the way, this was one of the ones that I wrote. No pressure, though. If you hate it, you hate it. It's fine. Everything's fine.
It's good. I love it.
What about you, Sarah? Did you have any, I mean...
Okay, so you kind of, like, summed it up when you first started. Like, God's call kind of feels like a journey. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess for me, like, I started showing up to high school youth group not because I wanted to be there. Like, I genuinely was like, oh, it's something...
Tell us how you really feel.
I was like, it's just something I can do on Tuesday nights. And then I started going and I was like, wait, I really don't know if I believe in this. And then I, like, really started to make friends. And I was like, I'll just go to meet the friends. And then, I don't know if you knew this, but I just, like, really doubted every single part of it. And I don't know if I put on a good face or not. But I was like, for the first, like, 3 months I showed up, I was like, I'm just here for people to talk to, which I made some awesome friends. Yeah. But then I, like, slowly, after starting to doubt, starting to ask questions, I figured out, like, I, like, started to walk away. And then I was like, wait, like, this isn't a good part of my life walking away from this. Like, I don't feel fulfilled. This doesn't make sense to me. So it's just, then I, like, really dove head first. There we go. There we go. And was like, I want to be involved in every part of it. I want to know what it really looks like. I want to understand every facet of it. And I've always been someone who questions everything. Like, I ask why a lot. And so I think that was really helpful. So it took me almost being like, nope, I'm done. I'm never going to church again after I got confirmed to deciding. Yeah. I want to really get into it. So, yeah.
I think that's great because when I was in high school, like, we didn't ever have the opportunity to question. Mm-hmm. We were just, like, taught. And I remember being in college and I took all of my undergraduate classes were actually non-Catholic. Like, I took Buddhism
world religions.
Okay. And I was just, like, immersing myself in all of that. And I remember asking my mom, like, why we did something. And she's like, I don't know. It's just what we always do. And I was like, that's such a crappy
enough.
Answer.
Not
like,
good enough.
There's got to be more to it. So it really makes me happy that the teens that we're bringing into the faith feel comfortable.
We love the questions.
Asking the questions. Yeah. Oh, we still haven't done our question podcast of all the funny,
interesting... We did.
Sorry. No, the ones that they ask
to bring
ask
actual
us
questions.
To bring
we'll
actual
do that
questions.
Next year.
Anyway, sorry, I'm rambling.
Here, wait. One other thing that I found, like, that's been really hard to learn as an intern is something that I love so much doing, which was just getting ready to throw away your whole plans to answer everyone's question. Like, I showed up to youth group with, like, so many plans, and then everyone just asks all these questions, and it's, like, into the material, but it's not what you were planning. And it's so hard to just be like, okay, like, actually, we're just not going to do the rest of what I planned, and we're just going to stay on this. But that used to be my favorite part of it, so I've had to, like, get really good at, like, going with the flow, which is not my strong suit.
Overplan, but be willing to throw it all out the window if the Holy Spirit has other plans.
Yes.
That's a good lesson for life, Sarah.
Yes.
Well, who have been mentors to us over the years?
Well, I already mentioned Michael and Mrs. DiTucci, so those are two of mine. But I got to talk about Bishop Clark again. I feel
of
like
course.
I've done that a lot on the podcast this year, but he was just such a role model of what it meant to be a Christian leader, a servant leader.
Yeah.
And he knew all of us teens personally, you know, who were on that committee. And I will always be grateful for him.
Yeah.
How about you?
Actually, mine are my first pastor and first pastoral associate that I ever worked with, Father Leone and Sister Roberta.
Yeah.
Sister Roberta and I did not see eye to eye a lot of times. She was like old school nun, like, you know, this is how we do it. You don't stray from it. But by the end of it, by the end of me working at St. Anne, we were like two peas in a pod. And we grew together, I think, really is what it was. But I always say to Father Leone that he took a chance on an unknown kid because I had no ministry experience whatsoever when I applied for the position. And he's like, yeah, like after the interview. It wasn't like I went home and then he calls me. He was like, do you want the job? And I'm like,
do I?
Right in the interview.
Sure. Right in the interview. Job? Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, because I didn't know what else I was going to do when I graduated. And I'm like, I got to do something. But it was really through his mentoring mm-hmm. and Sister Roberta and, you know, of course, my grandparents. Yeah. They just, it was always a part of my life. So,
yeah, it's awesome.
Do you have anybody, Sarah?
Okay. I feel like it's not a fair question for us to ask you right now.
You don't have to say us. We won't be offended. No.
Okay. Besides us.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Besides,
oh,
no, that's even yeah. better. Besides
just,
us.
I'm going to throw away what I've written on this paper. I'm actually going to go out on a limb here. I had a priest when I went to St. Louis for elementary school, and I had this priest, his like faith and his will to like, I guess, meet the young people where they were. Like, he got really involved in the school and showing them. And he was a very young priest. Mm-hmm. And I'd never seen a priest that young, to be completely honest. I thought they were all old white men. And he was none of the above. And it was so good to see diversity. And I guess he taught me that there are limits to what you can do and you have to work within those boundaries. But he also taught me that it's really important to follow your faith blindly and figure out what you want to do. It was really special because he wasn't a priest when he first came. He was a deacon working, or not a deacon.
They were a deacon before.
Okay. Yeah. He was a deacon before. So I got to altar serve for his first mass, which was really cool and stuff like that. So kind of getting to like be brought into the church a little more, but also taught me some really good lessons about making good choices. So yeah.
Was he the one that did like the 16-foot snowman?
Yes.
In front?
Okay. Yes. He did that with my sister's class. It was my sister's snowman. Made us drive past it every day.
Okay, so she's second child. Your parents don't remember a lot of her childhood, so let her have the snowman.
I'll let her have the snowman, fine. She can have the snowman.
It's a consolation prize.
I guess.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
So I have a funny question observation, but we may have already talked about it before. But Sarah, now that you're kind of in ministry.
I'm so afraid.
No, you don't have to be afraid. But I am the go-to Catholic person in my family.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Like any funerals, any wedding readings.
Or like grace at Thanksgiving.
Yes, I'm always doing. Yep. Yeah. Karen, say grace at Easter. Karen, say grace at Thanksgiving. Have you had that experience yet?
No, because, and I'd like to say this, my dad was a late convert Catholic, so he has a catechism, like he has three catechisms in his office, so whenever I'd ask why, he'd pull out the book. So he really was into his faith, so he will continuously say the prayer, do all the questions and answers. I have done a few readings at like funerals and weddings and stuff, just because people say I'm really well-spoken. I don't know how true that is, but...
yes, you are.
Yeah, I have not had that experience largely because a lot of questions go to him. But yes. Okay. I've been lucky on that one.
That's cool.
That's
are you the same?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Or if anybody doesn't know what to do with somebody's rosary.
Yes, yes.
Karen will take it.
Right. I'm like, okay. All the religious paraphernalia from all the older relatives who've passed on. Yeah. Yes, that's the thing.
I think that will happen to me sooner than later, but too. I've been pretty good so far.
Do you guys want to talk about, like, we talked a little bit about our call, but what about the call stories we have from Scripture? Do you have a favorite one? There's a lot of good ones.
Here, I can go first.
Good. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
So I was looking at this actually before I came, and I was looking at all the call stories that Anne had picked out. And besides, this isn't a call story, but I really like the Isaiah verse that's like, in deep waters, I will be with you. Like, that is like stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And it's not a call. It's kind of more of like, I guess, like comfort I like. Mm-hmm. But the call story that I really liked was the call of Moses. When in the Bible it says, like, I am the God of your father and, like, Abraham and Isaiah. And I think that really speaks to the fact that, like, our religion was the first religion besides Judaism. And it goes back so, so far. And to, like, I guess one of my big struggles was, like, Catholicism versus, like, Christian. Like, what do you go with? Like, why are there so many branches? Why has it gone so far? And I'm like, if I'm going to follow religion, I might as well just follow the one that's the oldest, the one that has the most, like, I guess is the best. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. a deep history.
Yes. And then another part of his call story that I really liked was that Moses was like scared of God when he came to him in the burning bush, and he said like he hid his face. And that kind of speaks to the fact that like we're all scared to figure out what God's plan is for us. No one really knows. And it's hard to have your own plans, have your own idea of the future and throw it out the window because God has something that he wants for you. Mm. And then in that same story, I really thought it was cool that God called Moses to help other people. And I think it speaks to the fact that we're all called to help other people. We just have to figure out how to do it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's what I liked.
Awesome.
It's hard to pick one.
That's why I'm going to go with when Jesus called his first disciples, because there was a group of them. But I just love the image of them. I mean, like, we have a lot of calls in the Old Testament that we have. Yeah. But when I think about him calling those fishermen, right, and, like, them just, like, leaving the boat behind, right? And I just think that's kind of, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but it's because how usually we don't have to drop absolutely everything in our life to go and follow Jesus' call. But sometimes we have to let go of things and we have to make big changes and we have to be brave and take risks and go, you know. And so I really love that image. And I also like, if you read some of the resurrection stories, the appearances, like especially there's one we had a couple weeks ago with Peter where Jesus almost like reaffirms their original call. You know, he's like, do you love me? Feed my lamb. That whole story.
Yes. Heard that one twice. For first
communion. That was first communion weekend. So we heard it multiple times and it was kind of a long one. But I just love that because it's like it's not a one time thing. It gets deeper and deeper.
And if you haven't watched The Chosen,
oh my gosh,
watch it because that scene is the best. They just like jump out of the boat and they're just like swimming. Yeah. It's rewatch them all. Okay.
So good. Okay, Karen. Your favorite.
So one of many, but I think the two that stick with me are the woman at the well and the hemorrhaging woman who like the woman at the well. Jesus, it's almost like this humorous, he's like joking
with her. They like banter almost.
They banter, and it's just like this human, you know, aspect of it. But when she realizes what he can offer, she just like goes screaming.
She tells everybody.
She tells everybody, and it's just like she recognized before everybody else did too.
Yeah.
And then the hemorrhaging woman, when she had so much faith that she just touched his cloak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it was just like she knew.
Yeah.
And I love that trust and that faith, which also brings me to, I know I have three, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay.
The walking on the water.
Oh, yes. That's always the best one.
Yeah. And
when he starts to sink and then.
Yeah. And Peter's just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And it just.
I feel like that all
it's
the time.
I do too, actually. Right. Like the notion that God is always in control and we need to learn how to trust. And then when we start to rely only on ourselves.
I know.
Is when we sink.
Yeah. You gotta take that first step, but then you can.
Yeah. Have you seen that image? Or it's a painting, I believe, and it's the walking on the water, but it's from underneath the water looking up.
Oh, yeah. I think I have seen
and
that.
And the hand.
Yes.
The hand is coming up out of the water, but you see Jesus's hand coming into the water.
Yeah.
And it is so powerful compared to the other ones where you just see Jesus on top of the water.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But it just says so much about the trust and what we endure every day to have that. So,
well, and how scary it can be to step out in faith.
Yeah.
When you know it's not something you can do on your own.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Love that. I feel like you have that photo in your, it's not in your office. It's somewhere at Transfiguration. I've seen that photo. I don't know where.
I don't have it in my office, but it's somewhere.
You have the Mary one in your office.
I have two Marys in my office.
I don't know where it is.
If we don't have it, we should get it and hang
it
up somewhere.
We should find
it.
Yeah, we should hide and go seek it.
Yep. Oh, I don't know, you guys, but is there anything else you want to talk about, Sarah, before you
I wanted to
graduate?
Thank you guys.
Aww.
It's been so fun.
It really has been a lot of fun.
I feel like I always have the craziest ideas, and you guys go, okay, let's do it. And I'm like, wait, what? I need some boundaries. And you're like, no, let's just do it. And
we trust you.
It's always so fun to get to see what I wanted to do. So thank you.
Well, you've just done a wonderful job of being present to the younger
Thanks.
Kids, yes. Especially I think the middle schoolers and the confirmation kids, just like looking up to you, and like they know you, and like even the little ones, like they know you as the church lady.
Yeah. Now. I know. My mom sent me something the other day and was like, you should send this to Anne and Karen. You should send it to the church ladies. And I was like, are you referring to me as a church lady?
Yeah. Like,
so that was funny.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, man.
Well, I did have a conversation with your mom about how what a blessing it was to have you. And she said that she was very appreciative and saw so much of you. Like she, at First Communion, she's like, I didn't realize Sarah had that much like involvement. And I was like, it was great. Yeah. She goes, we're so proud of her.
That's crazy because I swear I'm gone all day Sunday and they just are like, okay, I don't know what you're doing. I could be going somewhere else and they believe me when I told them I was going to church. Like,
so just know it's not only us that are proud of you. So.
Yes. Yep.
And we hope you find a beautiful new faith community at college.
I know. I'm so excited. Soon. They have a nice one.
Good.
So, yes.
Good.
Keep in touch.
Okay.
Let us know where God calls you next.
I'll email you during my finals frantically. It's okay.
We'll send prayers.
Wait, when do you leave? After
August
VBS?
20th. I'm not going to VBS, though. I'm working. I can plan VBS for you. I can plan out all the stuff. I'm ready.
She might need some help with.
Ooh, yeah,
give her some jobs in June.
Yeah, that might be
still here.
Something we could talk about
plan
later.
It for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's good for today, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Sarah, for being with us again and for everything you gave this year. And we hope you all have a fantastic week, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for taking a faith break with us today. Karen Luke and Anne Gallagher are lay ministers with the parishes of St. Catherine of Siena in Mendon, New York, and Church of the Transfiguration in Pittsford, New York. More about our parishes, including weekly live-streamed Sunday Mass, can be found at stcath.org or transfigurationpittsford.org. Thanks to our special guest today, Sarah. Engineering today is by Jeff Beckett. Join us for new episodes of Faith Break each week in studio on YouTube or on your favorite audio podcast or music app.